God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There is a dynamic that Washington, D.C. doesn't understand. Well, there's many dynamics they don't understand. Many. One of them is that no one believes them. Yeah, I guess there are some stragglers. There are some stragglers who still believe that the government tells us the truth, and there are government employees who do. But at the very top, they've made a decision, and it's very clear. They will be drug-kicking, screaming, protesting, yelling into telling us the truth. And it's on some things that are so utterly clear that it's almost hilarious, but it's dangerous. I mean, this is the veritable tale that we're told as kids. The sky is falling. Or the sky is not falling. The government's put itself in a position where if there were an actual emergency, I mean truly an emergency, they would have 50% of people saying, "I don't buy it." I wonder if they understand how dangerous that is. I wonder if they understand how complete it is. So often, it comes through social media. People are seeing things, and they're reporting things. They're calling the police. There are police officers who've seen things. There are police chiefs who've seen the same things. But we've been told time and again by Washington, D.C. bureaucrats or spokesliars, sometimes even FBI people, "Well, we're looking into it, but we don't know, but we know that you're safe and sound." And this dynamic has arisen in some ways through the presence of Twitter. And I would say other social media channels, except they still accept full censorship in most cases. Most cases. Facebook, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg's been visiting with President Trump, or visited. He's making some strides, and yet they just turned around and banned one of the most longest running manufacturers of guns in our country from being able to post. Smith & Wesson, because they make guns. So let's start here with Democrat Rep. Jasmine Crockett. And she backs her way into a truthful statement, and I'm certain she doesn't understand the implications of it. She views it in a different way. She's talking about the mockingbird media.
Why do you think Democrats lost, and what do you think needs to happen by the midterms and the next presidential election in order to find your footing again?
Well, Kristen, no disrespect to you. I think you do great work. But the reality is that those that tune in to our traditional news sources, they absolutely went for us. And we know that the standards that you have to live by as an actual journalist are completely different from other platforms. And so we know that we were winning for those that were tuning into the traditional news sources. But when it came down to people getting their news from places that really aren't even news sources, they were going for Donald Trump by 19 points. And that is exactly why we lost. The reality is that we're going to have to play in spaces that we've never had to play and make sure that we're communicating in all ways. Unfortunately, we can't just rely on the mainstream media to get our message across.
CNN lost another round in court recently. Jake Tapper and CNN lost yet another round in court. This has to do with the story they ran about some of our soldiers. They're losing. They lose consistently. They're probably going to lose the court case. Also this weekend, ABC and George Stephanopoulos agreed to a $15 million settlement with President Trump. $14 million of that will go to a charity. Well, if you want to think of it as a charity or a nonprofit, it's President Trump's library, etc. And then $1 million to his attorneys because they lied. George Stephanopoulos lied when he said President Trump was found liable for raping E. Jean Carroll. Incidentally, that word rape, that will get your videos on YouTube downranked. but not on Twitter. So the fact of the matter is the Mockingbird media is suffering from the same dynamic of people in Washington, D.C. They simply do not understand the degree to which many people do not trust them or believe them, and it's for good reason. There's a lot of reasons God tells us you shall not lie. I can't pretend to understand them all. Maybe it's because God does not himself lie. It's certainly because God cannot stand sin. He could have nothing in common with sin, and he gets to decide what sin is. Maybe because he gave us words, and we're to steward them wisely and in a way that honors him. Because God is good. He's incapable of being bad. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. He wants his children to be like him. So the constant lying out of Washington, D.C. is setting up a circumstance where if there is ever a real emergency, they won't be able to actually warn us. You've followed, I'm sure, the rumors out of New Jersey of these drones and the rumors of these spherical orbs flying around Oregon, California, out on the coast. Maybe you've seen some of the videos. And unless these are AI generated, then you've probably seen with your own eyes saying, wait, those aren't airplanes. There are some airplanes connected or collected in some of these videos. Some of them are clearly airplanes. Some of them clearly are not. So we've heard many, many things from the government, such as we're aware of the drones and we're checking into it. And then we've heard there are no drones. Then we heard, well, those are manned aircraft and they're flying legally. And then we heard the same spokesliar, John Kirby, come back and say, I said some of them were manned aircraft. But at all times, we've been told, we don't know who's doing this, but we're all perfectly safe. It's not yet a mainstream media. It's not necessarily Mockingbird media. News Nation is a television startup and has Chris Cuomo, I guess, as their major TV star. News Nation sent a skeptical reporter who lives in New Jersey out to cover the drone story. I'll let him discuss his view on it before and after he was dispatched to report on it.
I got to be honest here. You know, when this story first came out a few weeks ago, as a resident of New Jersey, as a journalist, I didn't pay it much credence. I thought it would turn out to be a bunch of pranksters and this would all be over by now. The experience I had last night, however, changed the way I feel about this story completely. What I saw was more sophisticated than I ever imagined. Take a look.
I didn't believe what I was seeing, but what was I seeing?
We're here in Central Jersey. We've been looking for the past hour. I think we've seen about 40 or 50 of these drones. In fact, there's one over my shoulder right there.
One after another, these drones appeared in the night sky. If you look real close, they look like fixed-wing aircraft. The department says these mystery drones evade detection because they don't give off heat like regular drones.
Advised after we made contact with that officer that there were 50 that came off the ocean.
50?
50. That was my reaction also. There were 50 that were coming off the ocean.
And this is a sworn officer?
A sworn officer, yes. We contacted state police, we contacted the FBI, we contacted the Coast Guard, at which point the Coast Guard went out with their boat, and they reported seeing 13 following their boat, and then the Coast Guard also advised that they went over them about 300 feet and had a wingspan of about 8 feet.
So that was Rich McHugh with News Nation talking to a local police authority. So the government is now telling us they don't know who is flying the drones, but we're in no danger. That doesn't make sense. If we don't know who's flying the drones, we don't know if we're in danger. There's been some other reports, some of these completely unconfirmed. Well, except there's radio traffic. This is from a police radio in New Jersey. And apparently, one of the drones seems to have had a problem.
Caller from 1329 Sussex Turnpike reporting a drone fell out of the sky by the power lines behind their house.
Urgent message.
And when she heard the crash, she reported 10 more drones showed up circling the area.
Received drone fell out of the sky.
So what are they? Well, we don't know, and the government's telling us we're all very perfectly safe. So those two things don't go along together. A United States congressman had reported that he'd heard from high-level, very trustworthy sources that these drones were coming from an Iranian mothership. And it's floating offside, or off of our shores. And I heard that. That's interesting. A mothership. I was imagining a spaceship. But no, it turns out that the New York Post had a story about a mothership, an actual ship, container ship, that was created by Iran and left port last month. And it's been converted to a ship that lands offshore of other nations and launches drones. If you've been paying attention at all, and I'm sure you have, to our immigration situation, please understand what the open borders movement has done to us. The decision to either be purchased or conned or blackmailed or just out of straight coveting to bring in illegal immigrants in massive numbers in order to overthrow our electoral college. Chinese age men or a military age men coming in from China in massive numbers. Military age men from other countries, including those of the Middle East, coming in massive numbers. Well, if they're here, why haven't they attacked us? Why would they? As long as the border is open, why would they tip their hand? Am I saying that that's what's going to happen? I'm saying we would have to believe that our enemies are idiots to not think they'd be doing this. If this is an enemy and not the United States government flying these drones, what have they learned? No one's going to do anything. There's been rumors, and again, we can get into this later this week, rumors that these have been flying over U.S. military bases, except one would think that U.S. military personnel are not going to panic and make things up and report things that aren't true. See, the problem with Washington, D.C. is, for good reason, very few people trust them. So this could be a serious matter, and they could be telling us it's a serious matter, and some of us say, I don't believe you. They're telling us it's not a serious matter. I don't believe them. Who do we believe? Well, God, who's told us this is what human kings get you, and then God, knowing that all things are done for our good, even when they're not fun. Now, resigning Chris Wray, the director of the FBI who's resigning, even as he is filling the FBI with political appointees and doing everything he can to destroy President Trump's ability to change it, he is a liar. He lied to Congress about the presence of FBI informants at the January 6th event going into the Capitol.
Congressman, as I'm sure you can appreciate, I have to be very careful about what I can say about when even we are.
Even now, because that's what you told us 2 years ago.
May I finish? About when we do and do not, and where we have and have not used confidential human sources. But to the extent that there's a suggestion, for example, that the FBI's confidential human sources or FBI employees in some way instigated or orchestrated January 6th, that's categorically false.
Did you have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters inside the Capitol on January the 6th prior to the doors being opened?
Again, I had to be very careful.
It should be a no. Can you not tell the American people, no, we did not have confidential human sources dressed as Trump supporters positioned inside the Capitol?
Gentlemen's time has expired.
You should not read anything into my decision not to share information.
Director Ray, gentlemen's time has expired.
The Inspector General's report is out. It came out about a day before Chris Wray decided to resign. There were informants in the Capitol. There were about 26 informants overall. Six of them went into the Capitol. Interestingly, none of them were charged with crimes. Lawless. We come back. I want to talk about the coming of the lawless one and in a way that John warned us in 1 John. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. If you joined us for the first segment today, we talked about the fact that the government in Washington, D.C. is suffering from something they don't understand. There's many things they don't understand. They truly do not understand the degree to which many people, if not most, simply don't believe them. And I know people can say, well, that's the design. People who are attacking our country don't want us to believe our government. True, and yet the government lies constantly. We talked about the drones and what's happened in New Jersey, and we didn't talk as much about the spherical orbs that are flying around California and Oregon, unless it's all AI. And in the case of New Jersey, it's not, because police officials have set their drones up to try to track these drones that are flying around the sky and been unable to keep up with them. We've heard that they do not produce heat signatures, but our government's saying, yeah, we don't know who's doing this, but we're safe. Those two things don't go together. And I wrapped up that segment by pointing out that Christopher Wray, the disgraced, soon-to-be former FBI director, has announced his resignation, but he's busily bringing in Biden political appointees to run civil service jobs, so-called, so as to make it difficult for anybody to change the FBI. Kash Patel, likely to be the new FBI director, was, of course, investigated, and I think illegally, by the FBI. Chris Wray effectively lied to Congress about informants being present at January 6th. They were present, 26 of them. I believe it was six that went into the Capitol. None of them were charged. The government can't lie its way into being believed. I don't think they get this. But I also don't think that they understand the degree to which they're being used. And this can seem like such bad news. The government's constantly lying to us. It can seem like such bad news unless we realize it's yet more confirmation of the Bible. They warned us, the Bible warns us about times such as these. It warns us about human kings, and it warns us about the coming of the lawless one. I believe Satan is a military tactician and strategist. I believe he runs his organization as a dictator. There's no disagreement with the demons as to who's in charge. And I think he's smart. He can't create. He can't experience joy. He can't make anything. So he's limited. And in comparison to God, he's a tiny little speck. In comparison to God, we are to never take him on our own terms, because we can't. When we channel God, when we take the authority granted to us, the Lord Jesus, delegated to us, and we use Jesus' authority, he's powerless against us. But he does do test runs, I think, to warm up an environment. I believe he is prepping the world to accept lawlessness. Listen to this from 1 John 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who sins breaks the law. Sin is lawlessness. And he's talking here about people who continually sin, in other words, practicing sin. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who's born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. And John is clearly talking about continuing to sin. People who continue to practice it. John himself makes clear that we're going to stumble. But he's talking here about people who continue to sin are lawless, and lawlessness is continuing sin. So my theory is that Satan is warming up an environment in the United States where it is normal to see lawlessness. Katie Couric was talking with Jessica Tarlov. Remember Katie Couric? I think Jessica Tarlov is less well known. And they discussed Republicans sending illegal immigrants into blue cities, and they said it was a brilliant move. It worked. Smartest thing they ever did. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, I think, in just a second. Here's part of this conversation.
And I thought that it was a stunt. You know, when they started busing migrants. They go to Martha's Vineyards.
Yeah.
It was the smartest thing they ever did.
Well, it's interesting because I have a friend who lives in Florida, and I said, what did you think of Ron DeSantis and Greg Abbott taking some of these immigrants and moving them to northern states? And she said, I thought it was great because nobody really was paying attention before that. And I do think that this untold story was the strain on social services and communities, particularly along the border, this influx, huge influx of immigrants was having. And I think the mainstream media, however you define that these days, kind of ignored that story to its peril.
It was a brilliant move. And it wasn't just the Mockingbird media that ignored it. It's the people who live there. Oh, look at the racists in Texas. The bitter clinging racists in Texas. They don't like the brown and black people. They don't like the BIPOCs. No, they don't like lawlessness. The decision of Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis to export the lawlessness has allowed the American people in cities like New York to see the lawlessness. It's allowed mayors of these major cities to see the lawlessness and see that it's going to cost them their political power. People, us, created by God, are designed for perfection. We still seek it. We're not going to get it on earth, but we still seek it. Satan needs to sow chaos all over the place so that when the lawless one comes, we're warned about this in the book Revelation, when the lawless one comes, it's not a shock to the system. It's not a shock to society. Look at some of the major cities that have fallen into complete lawlessness. I often use the example of the separate country of Washington State and the separate country of Seattle within that separate country. I use it because I know it well and because it is the headquarters for lawlessness. There's a woman named Katrina Freitag. She's the rightful owner of a very beautiful home. Everybody knows she's the rightful owner. She's got the paperwork to prove she's the rightful owner. But for a long time, a guy named Steve Hickey has been living in her house. He stole it using a paperwork scam. Recently, a judge finally ruled in Katrina Freitag's favor. Finally, after about a year to get this guy out of the house. The sheriff deputies showed up to serve papers to remove this guy from the house to arrest him. And then something happens. The deputies showed up, as I said, and they began to do their job of serving these papers to remove this guy who had stolen this woman's home.
Sheriff's deputies will be coming to remove Mr. Hickey after the judge essentially ruled that he needs to vacate the property.
This is Jonathan Show.
This does indeed belong to Katrina Freitag.
Sheriff's deputies are now going in.
I feel like finally the justice system has came forward and in my favor, and there's no turning back now.
The fact that he didn't leave, though, shows what?
He's still trying to fight the system.
It's almost right. Do they give you a time frame on when this is happening, when he's going to have to leave?
It is today.
Okay. I heard attorneys are squabbling right now. What are the attorneys fighting over at this point? We're talking about
the falsified documents that were filed for bankruptcy that have no grounds.
Your attorney's not letting up, right?
My attorney is not letting up.
They're not being told it's not going to happen. The attorney was able to stop it.
Are you serious? What's going on?
Oh, they're canceling it.
No, she can do it herself.
Why?
Apparently, Steve's attorney is throwing out legal jargon to muddy the waters again. And so now it needs to go to the detective supervisor and then their attorney for more review.
So as of right now, are they going to wait until this is settled, or what's going to happen?
No, they're done, and they're going to have to reschedule.
This is incredible. Just an attorney threatens the sheriff's deputies, and they stand down?
Yeah. Seems like that's how it's happening.
So he's not coming out?
No, not today.
Now what?
We sit and wait.
That costs the homeowner, the actual homeowner. Everybody knows she's a homeowner. Katrina Freitag. Cost her $5,000 because she had movers there. Now, just one of the things to understand about this lawlessness that I believe the evil one, I believe Satan is installing into our society for people to not be shocked when the lawless one comes. King County voters decided that they don't want an elected sheriff anymore. The sheriff there is now a bureaucrat appointed by a politician who's the King County administrator. So there's no recourse at the ballot box for sheriffs who allow their deputies to be bullied by an attorney, even though a judge said, you will remove this man from this house he's sold. Incidentally, inside the home, he's got Christmas tree set up, huge Christmas tree, beautiful home in a place called Ravensdale. And earlier this year, this guy who stole this house talked to a former colleague of mine, a friend of mine, a woman named Brandy Cruz, who hosts a program online, very good program called Undivided. Brandy talked to this guy, Steve Hickey, is the guy's name who stole the house. And he said, if a judge said he had to move out, he would.
If the judge did not rule in your favor, going back to the squatting claim, will you leave?
If it was absolutely, if that's, have a choice at that point.
You're not going to make him go through some sort of crazy process to get you out, right?
Well, let's see what he comes back with as a ruling, but I will honor the court process. That's where I've wanted this thing to stay.
The fact is this, Steve Hickey is making plenty of money according to his social media posts and the research that Jonathan Cho's done. Jonathan Cho is the journalist who's been tracking this story along with Brandy Cruz. Both of them, by the way, fired by Mockingbird Media because they chose to report not favorably, but on a neutral position on conservative causes, sent packing and having enormous success as independent journalists. Jonathan Cho did research, and he estimates that Stephen Hickey, who has stolen this house, according to the judge, that Stephen Hickey gets $200,000 a year as a social media influencer.
So you're not one of those guys with the $500,000 camera equipment that you see all over the place. How do you make money then? How do you pay for gas?
Yeah, so it's a mix. There is the stations paying licensing footage, whether that be local or national. And then also for putting it on social media, putting it on Instagram and TikTok, I do get revenue money from there and then also from some sponsorships.
That's cool.
That's cool. Do you remember how we began this segment? 1 John chapter 3, we read verses 4 through 10. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or has known him. Seattle is largely godless. It's largely churchless. It's largely lawless. Its government is lawless. The situation I've shared with you is repeated hundreds of times a year. And let's take it as a microcosmic example of the lawlessness being thrust down upon our country. From the top of Washington, D.C., as we've talked about, Chris Wray lying to Congress. There were informants, FBI informants, inside the Capitol on January 6th. None of them have been charged. And we could continue to catalog the lies. I think what's important for us to recognize is, once again, God is showing us that's a little bit of what hell looks like. A little bit. In Seattle or cities like it, Portland, Los Angeles, cities I know well, it's not uncommon for homeowners to come home and find a tent in their backyard. Good luck getting them out. They've declared that they live there. Now you have to prove somehow that they don't have legal authority to live there. How you prove a negative? Well, this woman is finding out that's very, very difficult. The lawless one. When the lawless one arrives, he wants to have an easy path. The easy path is paved by creating lawless cities and godless cities. Something phenomenal of a difference. When you live where you live, do you ever get the question, where do you worship? Do you ever get invited to other people's church services? Do you ever see on Facebook, let's say a confirmation or a baptism announcement, baptism party? Do you ever see people inviting you to a church event? I know at our church, we're having a great big, we always have a huge Christmas service. We'll have probably 30, 40,000 people come through our combined churches through the Christmas season, and we're encouraged to invite people. Do you know that in Seattle, having lived there for about 7 straight years before we moved over here, and I lived there prior to that, do you know that I was never once asked where I attend church? Not a single time. Do you know that one time working in downtown Seattle, I shared with a woman that I was a Christian? And I shared it because she was trashing a TV pastor who should have been criticized. There was an investigation done, and he had these prayer rugs, and people would send in these rugs, and he would supposedly pray over them, but he wasn't. They just threw them away in the dumpster. He just took the money. And this woman named Deborah was sharing with me, that's why, she said, this is why I hate Christians. I said, well, yeah, as a Christian, I could see why that would bother you. She said, wait a minute, you're a Christian? I said, yes. She goes, but you're so nice. I said, yeah, Deb, that's part of the point. Lawlessness. It's a test run. Do not fail the test. Don't give in to despair. Remember that God is allowing this. And it's an opportunity for us to say to friends and family, that's a little glimpse of what hell looks like. Choose wisely. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This has happened again. I didn't intend for the theme of the show to be about lawlessness and the coming of the lawless one, but that's happened. Sometimes I view that as God taking over. Often I can tell when God takes over because I will hear in my prayer and my prayer voice. You ever hear that? I don't know how you hear God. I feel his voice. Beginning the show, I'll have a show all laid out. Randy knows this. And God will say, nope, nope. Trash that show, put that one aside, do this. And in this case, I'm just realizing how clear to me, it is that God is showing us what tiny little glimpses of hell look like in the lawlessness and the constant lies that we're seeing from so many government officials. The lawlessness of the cities, as we just talked about in this last segment, this man who has successfully stolen a home from a woman for about a year, and everybody knows he's stolen it. And a judge ruled on her behalf. She could finally get her home back, and then his attorney called and threatened the police, so they refused to do their jobs to remove this guy. Here's one more example, then we'll get into the Tower of Babel and wrap up the show with a personal note. West Point, the military institution that's based upon honor, reported that Pete Hegseth, President Trump's nominee to be Secretary of Defense, lied. Pete Hegseth had said that he was accepted to West Point but didn't go. And West Point put out a statement saying, no, he wasn't. And this went to a very leftist publication called ProPublica. So ProPublica wrote to Pete Hegseth's people, I think his attorney, Dear Mr. Palator, this is Justin Elliott from ProPublica. I'm reaching out with an urgent request for comment for your client, Pete Hegseth. We're moving quickly, so please let me know if he would like to comment as soon as possible. Our deadline is in 1 hour. I can be reached at, here's the phone number, my colleague Robert can be reached, CC, to reach that blank, blanking out their phone numbers. We're preparing a story about Mr. Hegseth's claims that he was admitted to West Point. The school told us that it's not true. According to a spokesperson of the school, Mr. Hegseth did not even apply. Mr. Hegseth said on Jason Chaffetz's podcast in June, I got into West Point. Then he later repeated the claim. I mentioned West Point. I got in. I got into Princeton also, and I went to visit those two schools and ultimately decided on Princeton. He repeated the claim in September and again in October. Why did Mr. Hegseth say he got into West Point when that is not true? How can Mr. Hegseth be Secretary of Defense given that he was made false statements about getting into the military's most prestigious academy? Is there anything else we should know? Thank you, Justin. Well, yeah, Justin, you should know that West Point was lying. which has now been proven. They've had to clarify their statement after Pete Hegseth produced his acceptance letter from West Point. Then West Point said, oh, yeah, gosh, sorry, we're wrong. Sorry about that. Guess what ProPublica did not do? They didn't turn their journalistic ire on West Point. They didn't go back and ask those officials, why did you lie about Pete Hegseth? How can you continue to run the most prestigious military academy when you lied about Pete Hegseth, a veteran? They didn't, because they don't care to, because ProPublica is lawless. They don't understand that. They think they're just activists, but they're lawless. It can be frustrating given activities like this, but we do on this program thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
The president takes shouted questions. I understand, John. I understand. I understand. I've dealt with this question about three times already. I understand.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. It's almost always three. Do you remember Representative Jamal Brown? He lost his re-election bids for good cause. He was the guy who went and pulled the fire alarm in an act of insurrection. Truly, it's defined as insurrection. To disrupt the voting in Congress.
Well, should I pull that fire alarm? You know what I'm saying?
Do you think you'd be preparing for another term right now if it weren't for that fire alarm?
No. I mean, my district is a super pro-Israel district. The minute I called for a ceasefire, that was the last straw with many in the district. And I say...
So it was the fault of the Jewish people in his district, blaming the Jews, as it were. I think the fire alarm had something to do with it as well, don't you? Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Corrupt now Senator Adam Schiff has some interesting and evolving views on indicting political opponents.
On the day Donald Trump leaves office, the Justice Department may indict him.
Very strongly in favor of indicting the president when he is out of office.
I don't think the incoming president should be threatening his political opponents with jail time. That's not the kind of talk we should hear from a president in a democracy.
Isn't that interesting how the views evolve? Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Failed presidential candidate, who, of course, stole the Democrat nomination in an act of lawlessness, had a message for her supporters about Christmas.
And I give you permission that if you are going to someone's house who doesn't know how to cook, bring your own dish.
Joyful, isn't she? She's so joyful. And that, as frustrating as it is us praising God for letting these people have these positions of power so we can look up and go, oh, that's what lawless people look like. So that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. I'll just leave it there.
On A Disciple's View.
This is a tradition that began on my radio show, my Seattle radio show. I never planned these segments, and this one is unplanned. On a personal note right now, I finally have had some of these experiences that other fathers have when they get to watch their child do better than them. Now, in point of fact, my daughter is a better artist than I ever was. She's a better painter. She's better at drawing. She's a better writer. I wish that she would spend more time writing, but she prefers art. She just graduated from art college. That sort of happens over time. I watched her excel as an artist, and the reason this is meaningful to me is because one of the things my daughter and I used to do when she was young was draw together. We would set aside time, usually on a Sunday after church, and we would get out as much paper and pencils and any coloring instruments. Sometimes it was pens, sometimes it was colored pencils. And we would sit at the kitchen table and for hours we would draw. So she'd sometimes ask me to draw things. She still has on her wall. She's 20 and just about to leave our home. She still has on her wall a drawing of a mountain lion I made. And I went to our art school when I was a kid, and I learned how to draw beginning with shapes. So you look at an animal, you analyze the shapes that you can see within it. Here's an oblong, here's an oval. And you would draw those things and shade them in and then start to fill in the details. So I showed her a process of drawing that I learned. And she would do that with me side by side. But it was over time that she gained this great skill at drawing. So it snuck up on me. My daughter's had this incredible awakening in playing Scrabble. And Scrabble is sort of a, well, not sacred, but important game for us. And I'll tell you why in just a second. So we played Scrabble last night. And I had, look, in my defense, I had some really bad draws. Scrabble can be super, super frustrating. I spent most of the game with three U's, two I's, and two or three R's. In fact, I got five out of the six R's, four out of the six U's, and the majority of I's. So I was playing the game pretty handicapped, and that's the way the game goes. I'm not complaining. Well, maybe I'm complaining. Maybe I'm making an excuse. But my daughter constructed some of the most amazing words during Scrabble, and she did it humbly. And I noticed her saying things to me like, yeah, you've had some bad draws. It's impressive that you're this close. But still in her was this idea that I was going to catch up. At one point, it was 245 to 163. I was getting spanked. And I was waiting on a couple of big bets in Scrabble. I had one or two words I knew I could make. I just needed the luck of the draw. And eventually, I got a couple of them. And it began to catch up. And we closed the game out, not our highest scoring game, but we closed the game out, her at 363, me at 348. So really closed the gap. And I noticed something. She tried not to smile, but she did. It's not the first time she beat me. My wife and she and I play fairly often during the holidays. It's not the first time she beat me. It's the first time she outworked me. During the game, I left some leave behinds, where you plant words, hoping to go back at them. And many, many different times, my daughter leapt in and took them away from me. She was tracking me. She saw the things I was leaving behind for myself, and she took them away. She also employed a strategy. Once she got ahead, I noticed this. She started to put little three-word and two-word placements on the board. Why? She was shutting down the board. She was making it more difficult for me to have a fruitful place to put my words because she knew she was in this lead. I watched the strategic mind work. That's why she was smiling. And I said to her, you've had an enormous growth in your Scrabble playing. And she smirked a little bit. She goes, I might have read a little bit about it. Scrabble's important to us. It's important for this reason. When things got very, very bad for my daughter, and she wasn't sharing with us what had been done to her, what harm she'd suffered, and she'd become suicidal on a consistent basis, and I ultimately had to make the horribly difficult call to have her placed in treatment for 13 months, towards the last bit of time in Washington State, which is an insane house for kids who are mentally ill or going through a mental illness like my daughter was. She was going through a mental illness. She's not mentally ill. They can be taken from you. All it takes is for a nurse or a doctor to walk in and con your kid into thinking they're a boy when they're a girl. There's multiple ways it can take them. There's also this. If parents are unduly religious, if parents are unduly related to church, there are activist social workers who will use that as abuse to take kids away. And it's not an exaggeration to say if your kids are suffering and you have to take them into a hospital for anything related to mental health in Washington State, I would advise you to never leave their side and have an escape plan in place. I'm not kidding. So it was during one of these stays at a hospital that I made the decision, of course, I'm going to be there all the time. I took time off work. I'm not leaving her side. I refused to be there and let this happen, let a medical kidnapping occur. And it was Scrabble. There was a psychiatric nurse, and I could tell she was not on my side because she said this to my daughter when we were in the room. She said, "What are your pronouns?" My daughter knew exactly what she meant, and she looked up at the nurse and said, "I'm a girl." She goes, "So what pronouns do you use?" She said, "She, her." Praise God. I saw by the look on her face that she looked and said, "Dad, can you leave the room for a moment?" "Oh, sure. Happily." Not happily. I left the room. The psychiatric nurse stayed in there without me. And I came back out. I asked my daughter if everything's okay. She goes, "Yep, she's suspicious of you." Praise God that my daughter didn't use that suspicion to get things she wanted. Then the Scrabble board came out, and we played a game with a far bigger score. I think we came out of that game somewhere around 700 points each. I won, but barely. She spelled the word Kringler. That's a pastry that the only grandpa she ever knew, my mom's second husband, loved. That was a huge point for her. Here's the bigger part of this. That same psychiatric nurse came back in and saw us playing Scrabble together and laughing and enjoying time, even in the hospital, even as my daughter was in the midst of a psychological trauma. And guess what? This leftist activist social worker stood at the door and said, "I used to play that game with my dad." I said, "Good memories, right?" She said, "Yeah, that's what I like to see." I believe God touched her at that point, this godless woman, and stopped her from what I believe was her effort to take my daughter from me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk to make disciples of all nations until God gives us permission to speak again together. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.